Blog Talk Radio.
Just keep coming around. Hey, what do you want from me?
The On the Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Things that need to change for the better. If you're a person who hates racism and discrimination as much as we do, then you're one of the things that aren't broken. We aren't putting the problems on the table. Jordan Davis, killed because a white man drunk from a wedding reception and parked in a convenience store parking lot waiting for his girlfriend to buy him more beer, didn't like his music. Freddie Gray, killed after being falsely arrested because the cops deliberately left his handcuffed body unsecured in the squad car against regulations and drove over broken roads that caused spinal injuries to Freddie from severe jolting around. Tamir Rice, 12 years old, playing with a toy gun. A 911 call to the police by someone who said they believed the person was a kid playing with a toy gun in the park, but when the police heard that it was a black child, they shot him in the stomach only 2 seconds after they arrived and opened the door. 13 years old, Darius Simmons, shot in front of his own house while taking out the trash for his mother by his white neighbor who claimed that she saw Darius rob his guns from his house. Adults are always talking about how racism damages society or how kids are affected, but do they really understand what kids are feeling about the horrors of racism, especially how African-American children are feeling? China, you and I are in the age range of two of the kids in the group, and it scares me. All those victims were targeted simply because racists believe black people are nothing and deserve no respect. Only two of those killers in this mix were sentenced to jail. The rest of the policemen were set free. It bothers me that black kids are being taught to do normal things more cautiously because someone who's hateful and ignorant about their skin color may cause them harm. A group of white kids can stand in front of a grocery store and get loud, aggressive, carry weapons and speed, drink and smoke in public, and the police just tell them to break it up and move along. But three black kids can stand in front of the store talking without a squad car slowing them down to observe them and expect trouble to happen. Many times, the police get out of their cars and demand to see identification or make them get on the ground simply because one of them would ask why they'd have to show ID.
I agree, Lemurie. It doesn't seem like anyone wants... delivering. You. But let me read. You said something that disturbed me. The report from the American Psychological Association said that white policemen were a part of a group that doesn't see black as human or black children as innocent children. So why are they assigning these white officers to predominantly black neighborhoods? Why not prevent the applications from being accepted into the force unless they show the ability to be objective in their assignment?
Actually, that's a question I wanted to ask our listeners. Do you think that racially motivated police shootings, brutality cases, etc., would decrease significantly if the police departments nationwide had stricter entry requirements for newcomers and if they reassigned or removed existing racist officers on the force from patrolling black neighborhoods?
Call in with your thoughts on the topic today and tell us your opinions of today's question. The number is 347-327-9967. And be sure to press 1 so our switchboard operator knows who wants to talk.
We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to open up the caller's panel.
This was all you, none of it is me. You put your hands on my body and told me. Told me you were ready for the big one, for the big jump. I'd be your last love, everlasting you and me.
welcome back to the Minority Report. I'm your host, Faye Marie. We're speaking on the topic, Racism Hits the Kids. So, and it appears we have our first caller. Hi, welcome to the Minority Report. I'm your host, Faye Marie. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, this is Joseph Ward. How you doing? Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. See, what our questions are for today are, do you think that racially motivated police shootings, brutality cases, etc., would decrease significantly if the police departments nationwide had stricter entry requirements for newcomers and if they reassigned or removed existing racist officers on the force from patrolling black neighborhoods?
No, I don't think so. And to be honest, why I don't think so, because, racism is ingrained in the police forces around the country. Racism is the reason why the police forces around the country exist. If you go back and look at when the police forces started, you know, the earliest cops or citizens on patrol were what they would call slave patrols. And the slave patrols, their job were to capture runaways, people running away from slavery, capture them and bring them back into slavery. And then they passed something called the Fugitive Slave Act. And the Fugitive Slave Act said that all white citizens were mandated by law to be citizens on patrol, which are cops, and catch any slaves or any black people escaping from slavery, capture them, and be mandated to bring them back to slavery. And so this is the history of the police force. This is the reason why it exists. And now, modern day time, slavery, it wasn't abolished. It just transformed. And racism wasn't abolished. It just transformed itself. Everything is a working system because we're dealing with a system of racism and white supremacy. So with this system, it goes deeper than just putting good police people in place or even putting black police officers in place or even coming up with stricter guidelines, because the whole system is corrupt. The whole system is designed to capture people and bring them into slavery. And modern day slavery now is the prison system. And that's why we have the industrial prison complex. So with all these components working together, this is why I think that just because they may put a couple pieces or move a couple pieces, that won't change the whole system, because we are dealing with a complex system that has multiple layers, and they've been working on this for 400 or 500 years, so it's going to take more than just putting people in place or changing policies and things, in my opinion.
I hear you, but do you think that if we had stricter bearings, do you think that it would stop racists from using guns and badges to break the law?
Well, my question is, who would be the ones who would be enforcing these stricter requirements? Like, who would we have in place to enforce that these stricter requirements actually be taken into place? And now, don't get me wrong, This is not something that is going to be in every police force or every police station around the country and every city, because even here in my city, yeah, I'm not going to say we have the greatest police force, but it's nowhere near what people face in other cities. But still, you know, like I said, with the system in place, who would be the person that can actually enforce, or who would be the people, or what will we have in place to enforce what we want? Because we've known laws and ordinances and things to be passed in the past, and they were not enforced. And because they were not enforced, then the corruption still existed.
A good point about who would be the one to actually enforce these things. And I do think that if we had community boards, or if everybody or a lot of people were to try to come together and try to push this cause, that I do think that it would be able to make some sort of a difference, because I feel like there is enough, or I feel like a lot of people have had enough of all the racism and all the tragedies that have happened because of it. And I think that if everybody or a lot of people or enough people were to work together and try to help push this cause, I do think that it would help get this enforced, or help help this problem kind of be solved a little bit. I know that I can't really change people's like heart. I know that everybody there, I feel like there always is going to be racism, but I do think that it would be lowered. It could be lowered. There is a chance it could be lowered, and the levels of it could be lowered if a lot of people were able to work together.
Yes, I agree with that. Like the key to us being able to protect ourselves better from racism is a collective unity. Black people working together on more than one level. Black people actually doing what we need to do to make sure that we are protecting ourselves. That collective unity. If we actually have a true functioning community that we are existing in, then the instances will be decreased. Now, let's also look at, because history is going to be your best friend. And one of the reasons why we keep repeating history is because we don't study it or learn from it. So history is going to be our best friend. So we've seen in the past that we've had various, what we call the Black Wall Street. We've had various Black Wall Street for various independent black communities in the past around the country. And we've had them from the northeast, the northwest, to the south, to the southeast, to the southwest, to the central United States. We've had them all over the United States. One thing that they all had in common is they all were either bombed, set on fire. They were all torn down by white people who were mad that black people were able to prosper. So once we, in the midst of building these independent communities and working together, we have to make sure we protect ourselves. And another thing is going and studying military science and not trying to become no G.I. Joes or anything, but really understanding how to really protect ourselves. And because, like, how old are you?
11.
All right. You're 11 years old and your mind is already on it. So if us adults were more proactive and making sure more people in your generation thought like you, were able to talk like you, had these conversations and think about real black independence, then your generation can achieve black independence. But that is something that you all need to be able to see that is possible. I know we have a lot of people who are skeptical, a lot of people who are burnt out, a lot of people who feel like we can't get to that next level. But you guys have to really understand and believe that it's possible, because we were able to do it before. It just, we need, like you said, we need that collective unity. So
I agree with you 100%, but I'm actually going to ask Tina how she feels. So how do you feel about this, Tina?
Okay.
Of the whole situation, it's kind of like saying segregation all over again from back then, like said in history, when white people separated from black people and any other race that was colored and wasn't their skin color. And I think that if people see more of the history and study it, I agree with China. I do think that people should be able to, you know, look back on that and think and see how, well, you know, ridiculous it was for them to do something like that. And I also agree with Joseph when you said that we should learn how to protect ourselves by looking back on history and learning from it. So I agree with you, Joseph, 100%, and I agree with Shanara as well. We actually have another caller, so I'm going to let them in. Hi, welcome to the Minority.
Okay, I'm sorry, my phone was on mute. Hey, Joe, how are you?
Hey, Katie, how you doing?
How you doing? Okay, ladies, I'm very proud of you, of both of you. Just let me, Joseph is one excellent guy for you guys to hear anything from, so it's a pleasure, Joe, for you to be here. You guys are absolutely right with everything, all three of you, for what you said. Joe's right about the fact that for years on end, the police have been served to be like the slave chasers, you know, the kick the blacks in line, let's do this. One of the things I heard you ladies say today is that you, China, were told that racism doesn't exist. That's something that Joseph and I often speak on, as well as other people. Racism exists. The fact that you brought up Donald Trump as a modern-day living example of it when people like that try to tell you that it doesn't exist. People who are not affected by racism will say that in a split second. Okay, people who, like you said, don't have to worry about how to teach their kids to put your hands out to the side when you want to tell the police you're lost or you're sick, because most of the population in America don't have to do that. But to answer your question, lady, I think that it's not going to stop racism, but I think that it'll kind of delay maybe another person being able to legally outright shoot our black youth with the under the guise of a gun and badge, you know, where everybody excuses the cop's behavior or say, you know, well, in the line of duty, it needs to be speculated first before we can move forward. And then no matter what kind of proof is shown, Freddie Gray was one, ruled a homicide by everybody involved, but yet this man got away with it. Trayvon Martin, there was a man that wasn't even an official, but claimed he was in the neighborhood watch, got off. Okay, Jordan Davis, well, that was one of the few examples of we kind of got justice for him. Okay, Tamir Rice, little boy, 2 seconds, he's out, you know, playing Cowboys and Indians. If that had been a white child playing Cowboys and Indians, the police would have taken the time out to come out and say, son, this is a dangerous situation. What are you doing? So these are one of the things that need to be addressed at all times. And the fact that you ladies are keeping your head open, you know, is, as Joseph said, your generation is sort of the catalyst for what happens next. How many of you are going to be out there to make sure that you are protesting and you are standing your ground and you are singing? I'm tired of seeing my friends get harassed or killed or hurt. So what do you guys feel about what we're saying? We're the other side. Joseph and I, we're the other side. So what do you guys are feeling about what we're saying to you?
I feel that you guys are right about the fact that we should, our generation, like, you know, with our mindset, I do think that if we were to work, you know, hard enough, especially with our generation, if we were to start it early, I do feel confident in the fact that it's a possibility that our generation may be the ones to help lower the levels of racism. As Joseph said, you know, us being our ages, you know, 11 and 12, I do feel like if we have this mindset and we are able to spread our thoughts on this topic, I do think that it would help, you know, spread the cause or spread the fight, spread helping the fight to go against racism. I do think that it would help, you know, significantly if we were to share our thoughts with our friends and with our school members.
Right. Now, like I mentioned earlier, it is still our duty as adults to make sure we provide y'all with the information and the resources that you all need to mature into the proper adults to actually help create an independent black community for black people to actually work together. So, you know, that's us making sure that we are not just giving you all the right information, but also walking the walk. One thing I will say, you know, one piece of advice is, you know, study people's actions. Like, judge people off of their actions. Like, don't go off people's words. You know, people say a lot. Even I'm on this phone talking to you and things. Whatever I say, go research it. Don't just take my word for it. Go research it. Empower yourself with research. If you are not looking for this information on your own, you will always be somebody who will never truly be empowered, and you will never be able to really get to that next level and really help the people, because you'll always just be a sheep. And that's not what we need in this movement. We don't need sheep. We need everybody to be a leader. We're not waiting on the next Martin Luther King. We're not waiting on the next Malcolm X. We're not waiting on the next Shirley Chisholm. You guys are leaders yourselves, and it's our job. And I'm adamant about this, about adults making sure that we do our job to make sure that you guys, with the mindset that you have the resources that you need to be as great as possible. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. And these are the adults that you guys should be looking for, because it is still our job to lead you all, and we are molding you all to be leaders. So when you get to the next level, you know that it's your job to reach back and help the next generation, because that's what nation building is.
Especially now today with, the adults giving them all sorts of, I think today the adults in our community, I'm talking about our people, they got a lot of lip service, okay? They got a lot of wisdom and advice. Most of it out of the fear they have of today's, you know, racist acts, where the ones that are, they would rather say racism doesn't exist even though they're victims of it. You know, rather than step up and say, maybe I'm too old to do something, but I'll support you, young fellow or young woman. They don't. And it's crucial that we do. So I agree with you, and I definitely thank you for saying that, because these young children need to hear what you said. Like, we, it is still our duty to support you guys and give you the knowledge and the support that you need. That you might need. To continue and to hit this head on.
I agree with you, with you guys both, and I like you guys both said, I agree with Joseph and my mom that you guys, you know, as adults, I feel like it would definitely help us, like, getting support from you guys, because us like thinking about it on our own, Joseph said earlier in the show, he said that, I'm gonna say it again, us as kids with our mindset already, like our mindset, we already have that mindset to help, you know, fight against racism. I think that that's inform us about the problem and about how to help and how to fight against it. I do think that it would definitely be a way to you know, really push this cause. And I do think that it would be something like, you know, if we're saying like a lot of stuff about ways we can try to help and fight in this war. And I do think that if we actually are to go home, and every kid, especially every kid that's listening, if they are to go home to their parents or to their uncles or families, and they were to go to them and help them find out or help learn more about the issue of racism, I do think that it would definitely be able to, you know, lower racism, like the levels of racism, so that in future generations and the people who inherit the earth after we do, they have a nicer place to come to.
However, we, there's a delay, guys, so, you know, when people are saying stuff, it's coming in a couple of seconds later, so just bear with us till we get to that connection together. you're absolutely right. Like, there is, everybody keeps on forgetting that things don't just stop here. You know? Things don't just stop here. There's, you know, after we've solved problems that we're kind of overdue solving for you guys, there's still the next step. There's still that next problem that's on the table. And there's a lot of work that has to be done for us. So, you know how often we speak on it. It's nonstop. There's nonstop work that needs to be done because we've been pushed so far behind. We've been put so far behind, you know, in progress that when we are making these baby steps, we have to continue and kind of do twice the amount of work in the little time and space that we're given. The fact that there's still kids now, especially these young ladies, that are willing to come forth and say something when everybody else is warning them against it, especially our generation. No, you just put your head down and don't say anything. Just don't think. When you go outside, you make sure you have your shirt tucked in and your socks need to match. Why not have the ability to say this to them simply because it builds up your character, not because it's supposed to save your life?
Right.
So, and it's really sad. And, you know, I appreciate people like you and you ladies that are doing this.
Yeah. See, I completely agree with you, Katie, because one thing you young ladies must understand
we actually have another caller, so I'm going to them in now and then come back to you, Joe.
Okay.
Hi, welcome to the Minority Report. I'm your host, Jose Marie. Who am I speaking with?
Peace and blessings. My name is Brother Mike X, calling out of the Bronx, New York City. And I haven't been on long, but I have enjoyed what I've heard thus far. You know, I say peace and blessings to your host, Sister KD. It's been a little while since I built with the sister, but I definitely appreciate this effort, you know, to give our young brothers and sisters coming up behind us a platform of their own. You know, I'll just go into what I would like to contribute and get off and, you know, fall back and listen, you know, to clear a way for you to continue, you know, on building on this platform. What I would like to say, you know, to the young people, I would like to say first and foremost, you know, youth have always led the movement. You know, young people have always led the movement. And please don't spend, you know, connect with the elders. You know, if the elders are of the spirit of striving to contribute, you know, to your counsel, to your, you know, to help you to, you know, take ownership of your life in the best possible way, you know, connect with those types of elders. But the elders who, you know, always put you through the ringer, you know, and I think I just heard this a couple of seconds ago, but I'm thinking of my past, you know, because what I've experienced is as a young activist coming up, now I'm almost 50 years old, I'm 47, you know, but as a young activist in my 20s, there wasn't a whole lot of elders or older people, period, you know, striving to meet me in my emerging consciousness. You know, my consciousness was activated not through, you know, a rites of passage program, not through a program like this with a sister like, you know, Sister KD striving to help to create a platform and give young people the helm. You know, my activism or my consciousness was awakened through hip hop. You know, of that time, of that generation, you know, the Rakims, the Public Enemies, the KRSs, some of you might have heard of some of those individuals, you know. And when I began to get involved in my community, you know, I found where a lot of the elders or the adults, they always cry out how they want to see positive young people you know, they cry out they want to see positive young people mobile and motivated and what have you, but I found the exact opposite. You know, I found a lot of entrenched older people in the community boards, in the school boards, in the tenant associations, in the civic associations, in the in the political seats. I found a lot of them, they didn't want any real change being advocated for. You know, they were kind of like gatekeepers in the community, you know, and they served at the behest of, you know, some master above their head that they wasn't really trying to rock the boat, you know. And what I found is I spent a lot of years, because as a young person, you want to be endorsed. You know, you want to connect with the elders above you. You know, so I spent a lot of years seeking out an endorsement, you know, that never came. You know what I mean? And I really wish, looking back on it, I really wish that, you know, myself and the generation that I was coming up with, I wish that we would have spent more time developing our platform and developing our consciousness and developing programs and activities based upon how we saw it, you know, instead of continuously, you know, again, seeking an endorsement that never came. I think that's one of the biggest things that has hampered the so-called black movement, is that you've had a lot of times, you know, so-called leadership striving to keep the baton of leadership in their grip until they're 80, 90, you know, damn near 100 years old, you know, and there hasn't been nearly enough effort to identify real young people, not just speaking about young people, but real young people, you know, with real names, you know, with real lives, you know, and, you know, that you can counsel, that you can mentor, that you can support, and then you can move out their way as they get their legs up under them. You move out their way and you let them take the helm, you know what I mean? So the last thing I want to say is, you know, to the sister, someone was on just about 5 minutes ago and they mentioned a lot of heavyweights. They mentioned the Shirley Chisholms. I think I heard Dr. King. I heard Malcolm. You know, the best thing about this time that we're living in, this age of information where information is accessible like never before. You know, it used to be back in the days that, you know, when it was just about the books and it was about indexes and encyclopedias and, you know, all that stuff. Now, today, man, you could just press Google on your phone and say Malcolm X and all types of things will pop up. Or you could go on YouTube and they got all of, you know, the documents, you know, documenting the lives of these great people, the Marcus Garvey's, the Elijah Muhammad's, all of these people. I would say to you, and then not only that, social media is giving access to new generations of leadership. You know what I mean? Like the Black Magic 363 on YouTube, the Red Pill, the Blue Pill. You know, a lot of these people, there's a lot of people who are using social media to create virtual classrooms. You know, a lot of times when you try in the past, you needed, you know, you needed a room, you needed a building. And I think you still do to a degree need rooms and buildings, but we don't have to start there anymore. You know, you can start on Facebook. You can start by using Facebook creatively. You can start by using Instagram creatively. You can start by using Blog Talk like you're doing creatively. You know, you can start by using YouTube and having your own YouTube channel, you know, and putting out your own videos and creating your own playlists of some of, you know, the masters that have gone before us, you know, the Amos Wilsons, you know, the, you know, so many, the Sister Soldiers, you know, what's my sister's name? Why is her name escaping me? Dr. Frances Cress Welson, you know, be a student. Don't be a cult of personality follower. You know, that's another problem, and I'll say this and I'll get off the line. Don't seek to just join, you know, some type of organization and give your thought process, or don't cultivate your own thought process, you know, in lieu of you just following what the top leader is saying. You know, I think that's another thing that hampers our movement, is you got a lot of people who are engaged in cultology, you know, and they're not developing their own social, political, spiritual, cultural, you know, ideology of their own. You know, and what that does sometimes is when the leader is killed, like a Dr. Martin Luther King is killed, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference dies with him. You know, when a Malcolm X is killed, you know, his organization of Afro-American Unity died with him, you know, because you had a lot of people who were surrounded, who surrounded that great leader, but they weren't striving to come up into the consciousness, the awareness, the thinking, you know, the great, you know, level of thinking that that leader represented. So having said that, I'm just going to strive to stay on the line for a little while, as long as I can. I'm at work tonight. But I definitely, it caught my attention when Sister KD was advertising for the show tonight. And I really appreciate your energy. And I wish you all the best. I pray that you will continuously find new reasons to be courageous, to be positive. Don't focus so much on the enemy. Don't focus so much on the ambivalence and the apathy of your people. But focus on yourself, you know, and lead by example. And having said that, I hope I didn't take too much of your time. Thank you for allowing me to contribute with you tonight.
Oh, wait. Don't hang up yet.
Hey, Brother Mike.
Hey.
Mike, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here, sis.
Mike, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, sis.
Hey, welcome to the show. This is my daughter. She, I just let her know how honored she and her co-host should feel that the two men on here are saying what they say. You guys are like the last of the Mohegans of people that are out there that's trying to connect with the younger generation. You know, one of the things that I feel failed is so many of these black activists, black motivators, enrichment of black groups are out there and not enriching us at all. And the kids are feeling left out. You know, we spoke about this with the Ferguson protest, how everybody was, all these kids just was acting out of sheer anger and hurt and rage and frustration. And instead of us being there to say, listen, good job, now let me show you how you go out and do this the right way, they were busy going, you shouldn't have been out there. I don't know why you would do that. You know, and here you are, and Joe, you as well, saying, you know, we too got have a big responsibility to make sure that you guys coming forth, you know, have some legs to stand on. So I just wanted to say thank you, you know, for the visit and for reminding me that there's still people out there that are still trying to keep these kids up and going. Okay, so I'm going to turn the mic back over to the young one.
Alrighty.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Mac, and we appreciate your input. And another way we can end segregation, or we can be close to ending it and bringing everybody together as activists, is parents not telling your children to be separated from, is parents not telling your children that they should separate from another race or another type of ethnicity of children that
hello? Hello.
To come on.
Say it again.
And, oh, sorry. Another thing that you and Brother Joe can do is to tell other kids about this, and if they want to speak out, they can give and share what they want to say about why they're against it, and how to their life, or how to
I do agree with China, and I do think that parents, there is times when parents do want to separate their children from their friends, and I do think that, like she said, I do think that a way for them, a good way for them to, you know, fight in the war against racism is for them all to come together and, you know, fight against it. But I think my mom wants to say something, so.
Hello?
Yeah, so any kids, anybody that, you know, any of, like, youth that you guys know, bring them to our show and let them listen, and hopefully we can connect more and, you know, empower the children's community. So we have 3 minutes left, so we're going to try to wrap it up. So thank you guys all. Thank you, Joseph and Brother Mike and my mom for calling in and giving us your opinion on our topic and our show and, you know, children's, like, you know, topics and problems of the world from a kid's point of view. Thank you guys all again, and it was really a pleasure to have you guys give your input on the show.
Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you next.